The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazines. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines. We'll begin with this from First for Women, Stunning in a Sheer Top, Four Ways to Wear the Elegant Yet Breezy Style, and these are being modeled by celebrities. Gina Torres models a sheer button-down shirt, allowing you to keep some buttons undone and create a sexy plunge. Andie MacDell, wearing a sheer top under a vest, provides more coverage while still looking chic. Jamie Lee Curtis, go bold in a sheer red blouse, tucking it into a high-waisted skirt cinches the middle. And Hoda Kotb, sheer sleeves are a subtle way to wear the trend and keep you cool on warmer fall days. Some of the magazine's picks or recommendations. Sheer tops, ruffles on the neck and sleeves create feminine flair. This is a $28 option with a higher neck that's ruffled from Commence. The website, thecommence.com, thecommence.com. It's their chiffon ruffle detail blouse. Next, a flowy sheer top is roomy, so it won't cling to trouble spots. This is from Mango. That's shop, S-H-O-P, dot Mango, M-A-N-G-O, dot com. It's the semi-transparent floral print blouse. And print is kind of misleading because it's a tone-on-tone. If you don't look carefully, you don't see the print. It's just, I'm just seeing a red blouse. But it's tone-on-tone, $50. Layering this sheer top over a strapless dress covers bare arms. It's $40 from Poppy Lush, P-O-P-I-L-U-S-H. It's the long-sleeve sheer mesh top. And last, sheer panels across the chest and arms show off a sexy amount of skin while still being covered. When it says chest, it's from the top of the boob area up to the shoulders is what's sheer. $50 from Venus.com, V-E-N-U-S.com, and it's called Market. It's a high neck option, very pretty. From Magnolia. We're heading into the holiday party season. So, read the room. In a gathering, social cues can speak volumes when we make space to listen. The art of reading the room is an act of reading between the lines, and it happens in the subtle details. The tip-tip-tap of a foot, jangling keys, or unmistakable eye contact. These little social cues are a language all their own. By staying attentive to the signals we give and receive, we translate a silent conversation between personalities at a party. Understanding the cast and yourself is simply a matter of taking note and tuning in. Fellow partygoers, once you really see the people around you, how can you engage? Maybe lend the host a hand, encourage a timid storyteller to keep going, or refrain from asking another question to the person who needs to jet off to the next gig. Your role? Are you usually the connector, the observer, the one who's unsure where exactly to stand? It takes all kinds of people to make a party, so be aware of what you bring to the table and then relax. You belong here too. From First for Women is Spaving, the new saving, spending more to save more. That's what they call spaving. Is it worth it? How do you know if a deal is too good to be true? Linda Condrillo, a retiree in Delaware, considers herself a master of spaving, a.k.a. spending money to save. She never met a BOGO deal or limited time offer she didn't like. One of the most lucrative ways I spave is applying for credit cards with big bonus offers, she says. I look for those that reward you with travel and use that card for expenses that normally come out of the checking account, such as groceries and cable bills. The way I see it, she'd be spending on those things anyway. Why not reap the benefits and the rewards of additional savings? To remain debt-free and keep her credit score in check, Condrillo pays her credit card bills on time, and as soon as she's able, she uses the accrued points to book her next flight. If I play my credit cards right, I cancel before the renewal and move on to the next offer, she says. But I've forgotten to do that a few times and then come to regret it. Condrillo may seem like she's got the Spavin game figured out, but she's taking a risk with her credit every time she closes and then opens a new card. And not every deal is worth Spavin for. Consumers are hyper-reactive to deals, but these deals may not be as good as they seem on the surface, says Mariana Pays, a financial representative at Northwestern Mutual. The next time you feel the pull to take advantage of any deal, take five to think about whether the offer is worth it and keep these smart Spavin tips in mind. And there are three. One, do the math. Before you pay for an annual membership to get free delivery, make sure you're going to use the service as much as you think. Same goes for filling your cart just to hit the threshold for free shipping, says Pays. If the shipping is $3, but it's free if you spend $10 more, you're still spending $10 more. Two, be a conscientious shopper, or conscious shopper, I'm sorry. A BOGO deal often seems hard to resist. That's because when a free option of anything is introduced, it changes our decision-making process. Some retailers increase the price of the first item to encourage you to pick a second free item that makes these deals seem worth it. So it's important to be conscious when you shop. Do you need two of the same item? Is there an expiration date that would prevent you from getting the most out of both? Keep in mind that deals like these allow retailers to liquidate low-quality inventory under the guise of doing something nice for their customers. No one will give you a free item just because, Pays says. Price comparison apps like ShopSavvy can help you do some quick comparison shopping before you buy, so you can make a more informed decision. And three, put spending guardrails in place. If you're easily tempted, try deleting your shopping apps so you're not bombarded with offers. Turn off notifications and unsubscribe from emails that often lead with spend more, save more deals. You can also try instituting a waiting period, especially for larger purchases. This allows any initial excitement to subside so you can consider things more clearly. Ultimately, there's no one-size-fits-all when it comes to spending and saving money, Pays says. Finding what works for your budget will always be your best bet. From First for Women, a quick poll. How do you soothe canker sores? 70% of the respondents liked this idea. Swish 1 teaspoon of baking soda dissolved in a half cup of water for 30 seconds, says Lou Tan. Baking soda restores the pH balance in your mouth. And 30% of respondents like this idea. Dab milk of magnesia on sore spots, says Elena Hart. It neutralizes acids in the sores and coats them to speed up the healing process. From Real Simple. How do you give back this time of year, or better yet, all year long? And readers write in with their offerings here. One says, I round up friends to write holiday cards for people in nursing homes. Last year, we sent more than 500. We hit the post-Christmas sales, and I stash cards until the next year. Someone else, I do a giant food shopping trip for my local pantry. I buy up fresh fruits and veggies. Check with your pantry first about donating produce, and then drop them all off. And another, maybe it's because I grew up in Dunkin' territory, but I keep $10 to $15 Dunkin' gift cards in my car and give them out around the holidays or just whenever someone goes above and beyond. Even if they don't drink coffee, who doesn't crave a donut hole every once in a while? Another, my husband and I use a specific bank account for only gas and groceries. At the end of each month, we donate any remaining balance to a charity or person. Another, I collect recyclables and make a run to the recycling depot every month. The money I receive goes into a small piggy bank. Come December, I spend my earnings on toys for disadvantaged children. Even a milk carton has a certain appeal when you see it as part of a classic board game. Next, I donate all my items in my closet. I didn't know I had to nearby charity. I had two, it must be TWL, nearby charity thrift stores. If I lived with something for a while, I can live without it in the future. Someone else, I volunteer with Days for Girls International, sewing washable menstrual products and advocating for period equity. My chapter meets several times a month. It's very rewarding to use my skills in a way that helps those in need. Another, for Hanukkah, everyone in my family picks a dollar amount we'd like to donate. On the last night, instead of opening a gift, we share the charity we gave to and why. It's how we end the holiday on a high note and find out what's become important to each of us throughout the year. Another, my favorite volunteer activity is rocking babies in the neonatal intensive care unit at the local medical center. I do it all year, and it's the best 3 hours I spend every week. Another, I go to garage sales and pick up backpacks and kids' clothes in good condition, then donate them to a local refugee group that helps outfit students for school. Another, volunteering at a cat shelter. That's where I found my rescue cat, and it was the best day of both of our lives. And another, I have always felt that donating blood is the easiest volunteer work you can do. It's a small time commitment, there's no actual work, and you get snacks. I actually have a friend who's going for 80 gallons by the time he hits 80. I read a book about the benefit of doing a good deed every day. Now I help parents by returning their grocery carts for them. Once their kids are buckled in and purchases are loaded up, it's nice that they don't have to walk away from their cars to return the cart. And another, through Columbus Cake Celebrations, I bake birthday cakes for kids whose caregivers are unable to. It's a creative outlet and a way to bring a little joy to families in my community. Instead of exchanging gifts among the adults, we each anonymously choose a charity, then vote on the one that gets our pooled donation. This allows our family to support so many amazing organizations. And after I've chosen my Christmas decor for the season, I go through everything I didn't use and donate decorations to a women's shelter. I think a box of Christmas cheer could bring joy to someone who is starting over. From Stacy London, formerly host of What Not to Wear, they asked her, what type of shoe works best with every style of pants and jeans? And her answer, a pointed toe shoe. Pointed toe shoes are extremely versatile and pair well with absolutely anything in your wardrobe. For pants, they're especially great with a wide leg design by balancing out the width of the bottoms and elongating legs. They also work with all cuts of jeans, skinny styles in particular, since they also have a contoured shape. When it comes to selecting a point-toed shoe, look for options that are wide enough at the toe so they don't feel constricted or cause blisters. Comfort is also key, so keep an eye out for padded and molded insoles to ensure there's arch support. Best of all, these features can be found in pointed toe flats, pumps, boots, and more. From First for Women, three ways to handle a chatty coworker. There's nothing better than having friends at the office. After all, who else can commiserate with you about a tough boss? But there's friendly, and then there's too friendly, especially if this coworker has crossed from nonstop chatter about office politics to asking too much about your personal life. Your best bet in this scenario, be clear about your feelings and always be kind in the process, says Emily P. Freeman, a New York Times best-selling author of 6 books, including How to Walk into a Room, The Art of Knowing When to Stay and When to Walk Away. Her last name, Freeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N. If you're direct, specific, and succinct, your office mate will hopefully receive the message you are sending. Here are 3 more of Freeman's tips that are guaranteed to help you handle the nosiest of colleagues. 1, keep your feedback short and sweet. If you're missing deadlines because a coworker can't stop asking you what you think about a new hire, she clearly isn't getting the hint that your primary goal at work is to actually get your work done. If this is happening to you, be polite but direct. And don't mince words with your colleague. You want to keep your message short, as in, "I love talking to you, but I'm on deadline," Freeman says. When we feel awkward, we become afraid of being mean and often end up saying too much. The more you talk, the more you'll likely say the wrong things, which can lead to even more misunderstandings. 2, give yourself grace and your coworker too. Getting too worked up about a chatty coworker can be just as distracting as the constant chatter. Do your best to keep a light heart about the situation. Sometimes we create more drama by getting bent out of shape, Freeman says. Stay grounded and keep things in perspective. After all, a job experience has as much to do with the work itself as it does with the people around us. Your coworkers, even the nosiest ones, are an important part of the job. And offer another option to deflect time wasting. It's not the best look to be the office person who avoids connecting with coworkers. At the same time, keeping your job is more important than getting distracted by a coworker who's trying to be in your business during the 9-to-5. The best compromise, try to reroute the work friend who seems to grill you about your weekend plans every time you turn on the office Keurig. Turn things around with a simple question. "Is there another time we could talk about this? I want to give this my full attention," Freeman says. This shows that you're hearing her, that you care, but you prefer to keep these conversations outside of the office. Best of all, there's a hidden benefit. This gives your coworker the opportunity to follow up and say, "I didn't realize I was distracting you. Let's get a drink after work." From First for Women, some quick tips. First, a cleaning trick to keep dust at bay. The easy way to dust and dirt-proof glass tables, shower doors, and other hard surfaces: mix one part liquid fabric softener with 4 parts water and store in a spray bottle or squirt bottle, such as an empty dishwashing liquid bottle. Apply a little of this solution to a clean cloth, then wipe the surface and polish with a dry cloth. The laundry staple's anti-static properties repel dust. To ensure candles burn longer, this time of year you love lighting autumn candles. To get them to last, trim the wick to 1/4 inch high. This allows the wick to burn more slowly, increasing burn time by about 30%. A metal nail file makes a perfect letter opener. I was aware of that one. And how do you prolong the life of stored batteries? 68% of respondents liked this idea. Wrap a strip of electrical tape around the ends of loose batteries and tuck in a drawer. This prevents corrosion. And 32% of respondents liked this idea. Store batteries in a tray so they're standing upright. It stops them from making contact on the charged ends or with other metal. From Real Simple, for your Thanksgiving dinner, streamline the wine. Forget elaborate pairings. You only need 3 types. First, a sparkler. There's nothing more celebratory than greeting guests with glasses of fizz, be it a dry cava, champagne, prosecco, or other sparkling wine. Bubbles are an excellent way to pique the appetite. They pair well with rich, creamy foods, including cheese boards, dessert, and everything in between. So if one of your guests wants to continue drinking sparkling wine throughout the meal, congratulate them on their good taste and pop open another bottle. Next, a bright white. Skip anything buttery or oaky and opt for a dry white with fruitiness or minerality to refresh your taste buds every time you sip. Classic options are Sauvignon Blancs from California or France, including Sancerre, and Pinot Gris. A bottle from the Lugano region of Italy is also worth seeking out. The whites are vibrant and juicy. A Chenin Blanc is fuller in texture but still lively enough to counter all that rich food on the Thanksgiving table. And a light red. Palate fatigue is real, and an inky high alcohol red such as Cabernet Sauvignon may be too much for most revelers. Instead, go for varietals that are lighter in texture and taste, with bright fruit flavors like Pinot Noir or Gamay, the grape used in Beaujolais. If you think your crowd will want something with a little more oomph, consider a Cabernet Franc. It has more structure, but none of that heaviness. From First for Women, Beyond Burger. I've been enjoying Beyond Meat's newly formulated Beyond Burgers. While they've always been plant-based, they're now made with heart-healthy avocado oil. They also contain diversified plant proteins like peas, faba beans, red lentils, and brown rice. And the ingredient list has been significantly simplified. Each patty contains 21 grams of protein and just 2 grams of saturated fat. That's 75% less than a beef burger. My whole family has been devouring them, even my red meat-loving brother. From First for Women, enjoy a cranberry hot toddy. Spiked with brandy and rum, this festive, soothing sip is the ultimate party pleaser. In a 6-quart slow cooker, add 80 ounces of cranberry juice, 1/3 cup of honey, 3 oranges, which have been sliced, 2 tablespoons of whole cloves, and 2 cinnamon sticks. Cover. Cook on high for 4 hours. Stir in 10 ounces of amber rum and 8 ounces of brandy, then ladle into mugs. Sesame beef and vegetable stir fry. Active time and total time are both 25 minutes. We need 3 tablespoons toasted sesame oil. Oh, and this serves 4. And then 2 tablespoons soy sauce, 2 teaspoons fresh lime juice, 1 pound boneless beef sirloin steak cut into strips, 4 cups cooked vegetables such as broccoli florets and baby corn, 3 scallions cut into 2-inch pieces, and 1 clove garlic minced. In a bowl, whisk together 2 tablespoons sesame oil, the soy sauce, and lime juice. Reserve. Sprinkle beef with 1/4 teaspoon pepper in a nonstick skillet. Heat remaining oil over high in 2 batches. Add beef. Cook, stirring until browned, 2 minutes. Return the first batch of cooked beef to the skillet along with vegetables, scallions, garlic, and soy sauce mixture. Over medium-high heat, cook, stirring until heated through, about a minute. Then transfer to serving bowls. It looks just as good as from a Chinese restaurant. From Real Simple, garlicky green beans with pine nuts. They're offering this as a Thanksgiving side dish if you don't like the green bean casserole. Active time, 15 minutes. Total time is 20, and this serves 6 to 8. We need 1.5 pounds of fresh green beans or haricot vert, trimmed, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 large cloves garlic thinly sliced, about 3 tablespoons, 1/3 cup pine nuts, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, plus more for cooking the beans, 1/4 teaspoon freshly ground black pepper, and flaky sea salt is optional. Bring a large pot of salted water to a boil. Add beans. Cook until tender, 4 to 5 minutes. Drain well. Heat oil in a large skillet over medium. Add garlic. Cook, stirring often for a minute. Add pine nuts. Cook, stirring often until garlic and pine nuts are golden brown, about 3 minutes. Transfer drained beans to a skillet. Add kosher salt and pepper. Toss to coat. Sprinkle with flaky sea salt if you're using it. Also from Real Simple, for your Thanksgiving, maple pumpkin pie. Active time, only 15 minutes. Total time, 2 hours and 15. This serves 8. We need 1 homemade or store-bought pie crust fitted into a 9-inch pie plate. 2 large eggs, 1 15-ounce can of pumpkin, 1 cup of heavy cream, 1/2 cup pure maple syrup, plus more for serving, optional, 3/4 teaspoon ground cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon ground ginger, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, 1 pinch of ground cloves, whipped cream, and chopped toasted pecans for serving, and those are optional. Preheat oven to 350 with the rack in the lowest position. Place pie plate on a baking sheet lined with foil. Whisk the eggs, pumpkin, cream, maple syrup, cinnamon, ginger, salt, and cloves in a large bowl. Pour this pumpkin mixture into the prepared crust. Bake until center jiggles slightly, about an hour to an hour and 10 minutes. Cover the edges with foil if the crust browns too quickly. Let cool to room temperature about an hour. To serve, top it with whipped cream, chopped pecans, and/or maple syrup if desired. Next, celebrity chef Alex Guarnaschelli, her recipe for classic penne arrabbiata. Active time is 20 minutes, total time is 30, and it serves 6 to 8. Arrabbiata simply means angry, and red pepper flakes are certainly the ingredient that expresses that emotion. This is a dish that takes you to the streets of Rome. So we need 3 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil, 2 medium yellow onions finely diced, 4 large garlic cloves minced, kosher salt, 2 teaspoons sugar, 1 teaspoon red pepper flakes or less depending on your mood, 1 28-ounce can of peeled whole tomatoes, 1 pound of penne pasta, 1 cup finely grated Parmesan cheese. In a large skillet, set over medium heat, heat the olive oil, add the onions and garlic, season with salt, then stir in the sugar and red pepper flakes. Cook, stirring from time to time until the onions become translucent, 3 to 5 minutes. Add the tomatoes and cook, stirring from time to time, and crush with a wooden spoon as they soften and cook for 15 to 20 minutes. In a large pot, bring 4 quarts of water to a rolling boil. Add a generous handful of salt. The pasta water should taste like seawater. Add the pasta and stir with a slotted spoon to make sure it does not clump or stick to the bottom. Cook until al dente, 8 to 10 minutes. Reserve a half cup of the pasta water, then drain the pasta in a large colander. Add the hot pasta right from the colander to the skillet and toss to coat with the sauce. Shut the heat off and allow the pasta to rest in the sauce for 6 to 8 minutes. The sauce should coat the pasta easily, and resting will allow the flavors to absorb more before eating. If it's too thin, gently warm and reduce over low heat for 1 to 2 additional minutes. If it becomes too thick, simply thin it out with some of the reserved pasta cooking liquid. Serve in bowls topped with the finely grated Parmesan cheese. I'm hungry now. From First for Women, a quote from Laura Ingalls Wilder, "Surely it is in the everyday things around us that the beauty of life lies." And this one from Magnolia, "Remember, nature whispers there's no time for it all. Soften the urgency and move with ease. Patience is your ally on this journey of change." Well, you heard it. We're running out of time for today's episode. Be sure and listen next time. This is Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. This is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. For comments and questions, 919-832-5138.